Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast. As you were. Hello and welcome back to the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. And as is now a bit of tradition, here's Richard for our end of year roundup. How are you doing?
Hello. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to podcast listeners, as I'm guessing it will be by the time you release this, because it's the 30th of December. And
yeah,
by the time most people listen to it, it'll be 2025. Thank the Lord.
Jesus. And we will be seeing Oasis this year.
Yeah, so I wonder how many people, like, saying this now at like 3:30, I wonder how many people have got their like settings. I saw you said something about like in 35 hours I can say I'm seeing Oasis this year. Yeah,
well, I have, because if you do Twitter on computer, you can actually schedule tweets for a certain time. So so I've got the tweet scheduled at like 0:00 on 1st of 1st. Like,
nice.
I'm seeing Oasis this year.
Nice.
Seems very, very bizarre. But yeah, anyway, how you doing, man? You all right?
Yeah, good. Just, as we were just kind of talking about before this, it's just nice. It's been nice to have a bit of a rest in the Christmas period. It's been quite lazy. It's quite chilled out. But now, yeah, like I said, I'm kind of starting to get a little bit of cabin fever. But I'm like, right, this, yeah, betwixtmas, whatever you call it, or crimbo limbo, as I heard the other day on Six Music. Which, although it's naff, I quite like it. I'm kind of like, right, let's just get on with it now. Do you know what I mean? I'm kind of like, I can't do a rest of more than a week. I'm like, right, come on, okay, let's get going.
Back to reality.
There is much to be getting on with in 2025.
And obviously you need the rest, because you're a labourer or scaffolder? Is it? You've got a tough life, haven't you?
There's not enough hours in the day to type all the words that I type and data to enter. Do you know what I mean? There's always so much data to enter.
Oh, good. People that are like, you know, going out digging ditches, bricklayers, you know, posties, or all these proper hard jobs. Yes, okay, you do backbreaking work for hours on end. But think about the white collar workers and the hard pressure that when I have to do the commute from my house to my garden office, that's like literally 1 minute, you know, I sometimes get a bit rained on.
Well, especially this time of year, because, well, you know, a lot of people do manual labour, but they knock off when it gets dark. Do you know what I mean? I'm still there till 6 o'clock. Do you know what I mean? And if I'm working late, you know, and sometimes I'll start when it's dark as well. You know, it is a thankless task. Not that we're belittling people with manual labour jobs. Obviously, it works much harder than we are. Very, very appreciative very appreciative of being an office boy, because I've got soft skin and I'm not made. Made for real work.
Absolutely. But yeah, no, so it's all good. So no, it's going to be so the idea of today, really, as we've done in previous years, we're going to have a look back at the year that was 2024 in music and Oasis related and otherwise. Now, it's very, very helpful this time. Well, when we get to like early December, I'm always like, oh crap, I haven't listened to any new music at all this year. And I'm like, oh, it's normally when you get the Spotify Unwrapped and it's like, what's your top songs of the year? And it's all like Oasis and Beatles. And it's like, okay, I haven't actually listened to any new music. I should probably rectify that. And then I ask you, because you obviously do listen to lots of new music from your, you know, just because you're into it. And then obviously you write for various publications and do reviews and stuff. So you have to keep on it. But let's start there. Let's start on the Oasis world. So I suppose that's the, you know, with the Oasis podcast, that's what we do. The big thing, obviously, you know, I've done this run of episodes where we did this, or the 12 days of Oasis podcast-mas, looking back. And so, for the last year, I mean, it's funny when you think back to where we were this time last year. We were talking about, well, what did the year have in store for us? Noel had just released that in a little while, which was a nice little New Year's surprise. Remains to be seen whether we will get a New Year's surprise this year. And then we knew that because Just Another Rainbow had been teased, we knew that was coming. We knew the LGJS album was coming. We knew there'd be definitely maybe 30 stuff coming up. But oh, we knew there was going to be a Ride album. But other than that, we didn't really know what the year was going to have in store. And lo and behold, we had the most amazing, ridiculous thing ever, which the whole second half of the year has been dominated by, which was obviously the Oasis reunion announcement and then subsequent just craziness. So yeah, thoughts looking back on the year of Oasis.
It's pretty mad to think, in a little while, is that New Year's Eve it came out? Was it New Year's Eve 2023 it came out? It is quite mad to think of that. And then, like you say, later that same week, I think it was the fourth or whatever, the first Friday of the year was, we got Just Another Rainbow, and it was like, oh, amazing. But like thinking, not necessarily that would be the peak, but that was like, so long ago. Do you know what I mean? Like so long ago. I mean, even the John Squire, the Liam Gallagher John Squire album, that took what, 3 months start to finish? I think they did their last date in New York in like mid-April. The album was out in what, early March. There's a couple of like three singles and then a few live shows, like a handful of live shows, UK live shows. And then that was kind of done. And it was like, right, and then Liam's off on to definitely maybe. Noel was quite, well, not quite in the start of the year, but he had the Teenage Cancer Trust gig in the end of March, and then he had a few summer dates, and it was all kind of ticking by. And obviously, we had the Ride album at the end of March as well, as you say, but it's kind of like it was all ticking along quite nicely. It's like, okay, good, but it did, now with hindsight, it did feel quite front loaded. Do you know what I mean? It was kind of like, well, we knew Liam would do definitely maybe till the end of August, Noel would be having time off, Andy would be doing Ride, but like it does, with the benefit of hindsight, it does have a kind of clearing the decks type of vibe, doesn't it? The first half of the year, especially when Noel was saying, I'm just going to take some time off now. I'm just going to do nothing, enjoy doing nothing. And I think that was on the Matt Morgan podcast, like, I don't know, what, 2 weeks before the announcement, something like that. It was a different world, wasn't it?
I know. I know. It is. It's, we did think, like, wait, hold on a minute. So he's going to be doing, Liam's going to be doing a Definitely Maybe tour and this John Squire stuff beforehand. How's that going to work? Like, he's really going to cram it in. Yeah. And then what do we do for the end of the year? Because normally, like, the big points is, they'll do a winter tour. That's normally when they do it in the big arenas, isn't it? You do the big summer shows and you do the big arenas in the winter. Obviously, you had the complete balls up at the Co-op Live, and thank God that it was sorted by the time Liam played there, because that's when I saw him. But yeah, so it's just completely nuts. But yeah, so really pleased, and so I didn't see Noel this year, but I ended up seeing Liam three times in the space of a couple of months, which was pretty mad. What was it? So I saw him at on the Definitely Maybe tour at Manchester, at Reading. And then the boxing. So yeah, it was pretty mad to see Liam three times in that short space of time. Did you see him this year?
Yeah, I saw him three times as well. I saw him and John Squire at the Kentish Town Forum. I saw Liam at Cardiff on, I think, the second show of the Definitely Maybe Tour, and Reading, obviously, which as we've thoroughly discussed in the past. And I also saw Noel at the Albert Hall for the Teenage Cancer Trust gig, and I saw Ride once as well. So yeah, I saw Liam a fair amount this year as well. I always knew I was going to be going to at least one of the Definitely Maybe shows, because I think he was announced as the Reading headliner. I don't know, back in January, maybe, or maybe even before that. So I always had that in the diary, and I thought, well, I want to go to, want to see if I can go to another one. Obviously, Cardiff's not far from me. But yeah, the Liam Gallagher John Squire thing was a nice little bonus at the beginning of the year. But yeah, it's kind of been for the last. I was thinking about this the other day. We've been doing these for about 5 years now. We're now halfway through this decade, which is pretty scary. And you look at like where Noel and Liam were in terms of their relationship at the beginning of the decade, which was like around about the time Just Once had just come out and Blue Moon Rising was just about to come out. and or sorry, once was a single. And I remember, I was thinking about this, I remember that Noel, at that point, Noel was taking to Twitter to argue with Liam. Like, it wasn't kind of directly him, but he was like, I can't remember what the context was, but it was something like, oh, he's got a new single out called Once, which is the amount of times you should listen to it.
Yeah.
And it or something like that. And it was like, God, and you think now, you think, God, things must have been quite bad for Noel to take to Twitter via his team or whatever to fire back a riposte to Liam. And you kind of look at how that 5 years we've traveled to kind of see where we are now. But yeah, I'm thinking more broadly. But in terms of this year, it was a very good, you know, Gallagher year. Had it, you know, without what happened in August when the world changed.
Yeah. I mean, that was completely insane. Obviously, it's calmed down a bit now, but I think it's like the calm before the storm, because we know it's going to obviously go mad again once we get into next year. But yeah, I mean, how do you reflect on that? You had I did a lot of media. You ended up doing quite a bit of media as well. What a mad few weeks.
It was really mad. Like, I look back, it was like a 2.5 week period. Started by like seeing the Sex Pistols at Shepherd's Bush Hall, which is incredible, possibly my gig of the year. And that was amazing. Then I went off to Green Man Festival, which was brilliant. Then I came back a few days off, then went to Reading Festival, which was brilliant. Probably the best time I've had there for a long time, because I was kind of, you know, working it as well. Spent a lot of time, you know, time with good friends, and, you know, Fontaine's DC were incredible, Prodigy were brilliant. Interview bands, yada yada yada, and then, you know, the cherry on the cake of that announcement at the end of the festival, and then just that bonkers week thereafter, when it was like, you know, getting codes and being on pre-sale, like, and access to pre-sales, and yeah, and then that Monday and Tuesday where no one else would talk about Oasis apart from me and you, so we did everything we were like said yes to everything. It was, yeah, I mean, I look back on it now and just, I don't think that will ever be repeated. Do you know what I mean? That kind of that intensity. Like, even if, you never know, maybe if, say, Oasis do something big next year, that the media might jump on and might come reach out to me and you, it won't have that same kind of impact or if you want a better expression, novelty value of like, yeah, just getting harangued by Sky News and the BBC and Canadian news stations and stuff like that. Like, it won't be the same again. Yeah, and then obviously culminating in the end of that week about actually getting tickets as well that, you know, we were lucky enough to get. It will live long in the memory, that fortnight and a half for me, especially that last week. And, you know, as we've spoken about many times, it was kind of like, took a while to actually process the fact that they were back. And in a way, it's been, I know I said at the time, I was like, I want to find out what happens next. The answer is sweet FA, really. Yeah. You'll find out the support bands for the UK shows and US shows. There'll be more dates. And that's your lot. That's all the information that's all the information you are getting for the rest of 2024. I am quite enjoying the cryptic phase. Although, talking about that, have you noticed Liam's been a little bit cryptic on Twitter the last couple of days? Have you noticed that? Maybe I'm just speculating.
Well, I just checked there, because just before I came on here, he tweeted like psst, PSST. And I'm like, I replied with the Samuel L. Jackson Pulp Fiction GIF. Go on, like that, because it's like, come on, what is it? Because normally, it was funny, so actually going back to doing the 12 days episode on it, and actually going back to what I was saying, and I said at the time, yeah, it feels like something might be happening. I mean, Liam sort of tweeted that he did this photo shoot and he was coy about who with, and that was the same week he said that, like, the piss artist, solo artist thing, and it's like, yeah, that was the week he did the photo shoot with Noel. So, but then interesting, and we haven't talked about it. But yeah, then Noel was in an interview the other day, wasn't he? And he said about, there's going to be nothing Oasis related until like May, when we start doing rehearsals, because other than that, until then, we're still solo artists. So it's like, okay. And then did you see that Liam posted a picture over in a big family Christmas picture?
Yes.
Paul there and Peggy there. No Noel. So it's, you know, we'll see. They're not 100% pals yet.
I reckon he was taking the picture. That's my cold theory.
I think so. Zoom enhanced. Maybe you can see him in the mirror.
Yeah. Or Aeneas was taking the picture and Noel was like, I'm not getting involved. Yeah. Baseless speculation. But, you know, whatever keeps me happy. But yeah, I know what you're saying. But yeah, but yesterday with Liam tweeting like Rastas and then no response. Normally that's him going, morning, you know, and enabling conversation with whoever might reply. And then just a minute ago, yeah, as you say, he's gone, psst. And it's like, psst, what? And, you know, I am thoroughly enjoying this bit because we can't fucking trust the word they say. Do you know what I mean? Noel's like, oh, there's nothing till May. We're still solo artists. But basically, everything I predicted since the start of 2024 has been completely wrong when it comes to Oasis. So I don't know. I'm going to continue my track record of being shit. Noel's probably going to release a fucking High Flying Birds demo in the new year. Do you know what I mean? Just to absolutely throw things completely up in the air and drive fandom wild once again. Or there'll be, more likely, there will be nothing. Or I think they might start to release like scraps, like that 6-hour ambient mix of Champagne Supernova. Oh, I went to that exhibition, the National Portrait Gallery, by the way.
Yeah.
The 6-hour ambient mix of Champagne Supernova sounds like Champagne Supernova has been given the Amorphous Androgynous treatment, although it hasn't. It's not them, but it's not ambient. Ambient is not the word I would use for it. Like distinctive drums and guitar riffs and repetitive again. But I was only there for like 5-10 minutes because I had places to be and it was busy. And I thought, I am just standing here listening to music. And unfortunately, there's other people talking because obviously it's a gallery, so the music's not played very loud. There's just other people talking, and I don't want to be that guy who goes, can you shut the fuck up, please?
I've got to listen to another 6 hours.
Yeah. I've only got 5 hours 50. I've got 5 hours 57 to go. So could you just zip it?
I really needed to get the nuance of
this speaker system is shit as it is, right? this is bad acoustics. Last thing we need to hear is you talking about your lunch. So we might get something like that, you know, in terms of next year, if we can of course talk about that. I think given the fact that Whatever's recently had deluxe package, I think we can assume that all the
95 stuff will get the
Exactly. Each single, each of the three singles to come next year each of the three singles that are out in 95 will get massive treatment. Morning Glory. And you kind of think, will that be tied into the reunion potentially, you know, in some way, shape, or form? It's hard to see how it wouldn't be. But anyway, I digress. Hopefully we'll just get hit straight full in the gullet 2025, bash, here we are. But I sense that they're quite enjoying the media blackout, actually. I think they're having quite a lot of fun with it.
Yes, yeah. I don't think so. I don't think we're going to get anything until literally May. Yeah, or like you might start to get... Like you'll get re-stuff in the papers. Like there's been all these leaks and things which turned out to be bollocks anyway. So, yeah.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
And then, and then some sad news as well. Obviously, we haven't talked about it, but Mary McGuigan died, which was really shocking.
Yeah.
So I heard from, I'd heard from a mutual friend that she was in a very, very bad way. Like she probably won't survive the day. And then the next day, then it was like, no. Confirm she's died, and then the first I didn't, you know, you don't want to be the one to blab on fucking social media about it, so I waited, and then it was only when Ruth, who's Gwigsy's wife, so obviously Mary's sister-in-law, she posted about it on Facebook, after a short illness, Mary McGuigan's died. So I mean, she could have only been, I think, 51, because I think she's 18 months younger than Gwigs, and Gwigs is 53. So I think she'd be 51. And it was just her birthday. Her birthday's in mid-December. Obviously, she lost her mum in the November, late November. And to be honest, so I hadn't really had a huge amount of contact with her in the last few months. It was like it was never it didn't like no falling out or anything. It's just I don't like to bother Oasis related people. You know what I mean? I'm not a big texter anyway. I'm not someone who's just in group chats all the time and texting people all the time. So generally, if I've got something to talk something about, I will. So I messaged her when her mum died, and she just, was thanked me for the message. And then I messaged her because it's quite ironic, I suppose, that I put out those Days of Christmas episodes talking about the fact that I went out with her on that day. I talked about that. I've talked about the fact that mum had died. I mentioned that in an episode. And then I even dropped in a clip of the other clip I had with her, which was the day when I went to Manchester and I saw Primal Scream with her. And then and we didn't I never include that in a proper episode. I think that was even a like a post credits little funny bit. I don't think I was ever included that in an actual one where she's just like freaking out because of seeing Johnny Marr. So yeah, and then so it sort of dredges up that sort of memories of going meeting Mary. And then, yeah, a week later, we've heard she's died. So, yeah, really sad, really horrible to hear. Obviously, no age, and yeah, so pretty gutting overall, really. And obviously, you feel for Gwiggs, who's lost his mum and his only sibling in the space of a month.
Yeah, I mean that's really sad, isn't it? Like, I mean, we don't we obviously don't know what happened with Mary or her mum, but yeah, presumably for Mary to be carrying that sadness of her mum passing away, as you know, she passed away, and then yeah, for Paul, it's just desperately, desperately sad. So like, yeah, it's horrible. Your heart goes out to Paul and whatever family, whatever other family members may be affected or are affected. Yeah, it's not what else to say, is it? It's just unbearably sad. It's just terribly, terribly sad.
Yeah, and even because she was such a big part of the Oasis online community, in a way that it's great to have her out there because it was great to have her out there because of the fact that Gwigsy doesn't talk publicly. And so she was always the spokesperson for him. She was always out there fighting his corner. So if ever, if someone would slag off his bass playing, you never know, like a little Mary might reply might drop up and say, "Oi," like that. And and so and there's like her stuff, she's still got like like talking to her about like Rave on the Roof, that the song that was recorded. But then she goes, and I was saying, "Oh well, according to Chris Hutton's book, he wrote this." No, he didn't write. Me and Paul wrote the lyrics to that. I remember sitting down with him and coming up with the words to that. I'm like, wow, okay. But now we'll never get. And she's like, oh yeah, it's out there somewhere. It's like, it's not out there. If it was out there, we'd know about it. So yeah, I think it's out there. It's like, no. So yeah, it is just a real sadness. And I was just looking back through my messages with her, and she's, as I said, the arts was so important to her, and Oasis' place in that was so important to her. And she really wanted, like, some sort of, she was instrumental in putting like the exhibition on at the Manchester University, which was Jill Fermanowski's exhibition. So she did a little episode on the podcast with Jill Fermanowski and Paul Slattery, where we talked about that.
Today's the day of the launch for the crowdfunder for the There Is a Light That Never Goes Out photography exhibition that we're trying to keep in Manchester and for Manchester. That means that I get to spend the evening with the lovely Jill Firmanovsky and the amazing Paul Slattery. I offered to do an interview on behalf of Oasis Podcast with them, and you've been sending me your questions, so I hope you enjoy it.
And yeah, and it was, and she was sort of, so I want some sort of, like an Oasis like timeline project or something. You hear the voices and these sort of living museum sort of things where it's not just artifacts, but you get to videos and photos. And I said, well, Mary, I've been doing that, for the last sort of, all these years. It's out there. It is out there, and it is nice to know that, it's like, if you've got older relatives and stuff, record them, So it, you know, because that's it. When they're gone, those stories are gone. So it's nice to know that forever, you know, there is a couple of hours of Mary McGuigan walking around Manchester telling a story, going to, you know, oh, this is the park and this is the school and this is the, you know, my I loved Adam Ant, or, you know, all the sort of the fun and games that we had is out there forever, you know.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
it is nice.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. It's like, hopefully that will be the episodes. And congratulations on the 12 days of Podcastmas, by the way. Just a slight tangent, because it was a very excellent, good work, and it was a real kind of trip down memory lane. And yeah, hopefully that episode, and indeed the full episode with Mary, you know, will kind of, as you say, will always be there, and, you know, people can use that as a tribute to if they're looking to gain insight into what she was really like. So yeah.
There we go. Oh well, let's do a one show about Turn then. And let's talk about other good stuff this year. So, like, albums of the year, well, you know, gigs of the year, albums of the year, songs of the year, you're the one that's in tune to that stuff. So go on then, Richard.
I mean, it's hard to look from an alternative music fan. It's hard to look beyond Fontaines DC. I mean, to be honest, speaking personally, they might even get the clean sweep of best song, best album, best gig, really. I remember when Starburster came out in April. I remember thinking, and this doesn't often happen, but I was like compelled to write about it and like write a first kind of first reaction piece, because I knew, I was like, ah, here it is. Like, they've got everything's in place for them to take that kind of kick on. And then I kind of read that they changed record labels, and obviously Starburst has got what kind of brought in a whole new sound. And I just knew that for them, it was going to be right. This is going to be their time. They're entering their time.
£300 to take a class in it. I wanna ride the phone, I wanna leave the town, I wanna see you alone, 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 alone. I wanna straight the shack, I find me someone to pack, like the light when it's stacked, it's stacked, it's stacked, it's stacked.
And you got that at Reading Festival when we saw them as well. Yeah, it was the day after the album come out. You could feel that kind of buzz around them. And then I saw them at Ali Pali in November, and it was just like, it was so hard to get tickets. I didn't actually get a ticket until about 2 hours before the gig. Like, I got no, like, Twickets was just, because it was a high demand thing, the bots were taking up Twickets, which bodes well for next summer, but let's not worry about that. So the bots were just snapping up tickets. And I'd nearly given up. I'd been to watch Nadine Shah the night before at the Kentish Town Forum, and I was like, right, seen some friends. I'll let them. They can go to the gig. I'll just go home. It's all good. It's all cool. And then by chance, I just checked Ticketmaster about 4 o'clock, and there was a ticket came up. Thank the Lord. But like, it was well worth the travails. Like, they were just, as I say, just a band that just at that sweet, sweet spot of having a great album in their back pocket, running like a machine live. You know, not too tired of the album. Still, the songs are still making impact. They've not been overplayed. You know, they've got the kind of the wind in their sails, as it were. So they're certainly my like band of the year. The album Romance, I don't think was a letdown. I mean, Starburster, I was expecting a little bit more kind of experimental stuff for the new album based on that first single. And then Favourite came out. I was like, oh, it's the Smiths and the Sundays, you know. But you know, love that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But there is a lot going on. You know, it is a very kind of varied, textured album, and it's certainly their best, certainly the best of the year, and I think will be like in the kind of decade greats coming in the end of the year. In fact, you know, probably in years to come, I think it'll probably be in the top 50 albums, or, you know, top 250 albums that magazines do. I think it earned its place in there. Elsewhere, I thought Jack White kind of really returned to form with his No Name album. I'm actually seeing him in March, which I'm very excited about, because one of the best live performers I've ever seen. But yeah, I thought Jack White kind of really, with tracks like That's How I'm Feeling and Archbishop Harold Holmes, I think it's called, were both like really good, kind of familiar, you know, kind of almost a return to like the White Stripesy raconteurs kind of sound. But it was just, I don't know, it's had this kind of zest to it that I feel he's perhaps been missing, or kind of directness, actually, is probably a better way of doing it, better way of saying it. I thought Idols came back, Idols came back strong, probably with possibly their best album, but that was kind of the beginning of the year. So I think maybe, even though the two bands don't sound alike, they're kind of associated. And I think them and Fontaines DC
like a quite close associates. I think Fontaine's DC maybe kind of stole the march on them a little bit. Who else? Nadine Shah came out with a great album. I thought the Libertines came out with a very strong album. In terms of songs, I think I played Everything and Nothing, or so I suggested Everything and Nothing by Softplay to you, which you were quite impressed by. That's probably in my top tier of tunes. Quite like that, didn't you?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I didn't know. I remember, I was thinking Softplay. I remember reading about Softplay and I couldn't remember why. And then I listened to the album after you recommended it. And then it was funny, I was listening to it and I was like, and then there's the song that I'm like, is that fucking Robbie Williams? And I'm like, it is Robbie Williams. And it's like clearly talking about a name change. And I'm like, it was a name change, wasn't it? And it's one of those things that I'm not going to Google it. I'm just going to listen to it. I'm going to enjoy the album. I'm going to listen to it. And it was only when I finished, I'm like, right, let me look this up. And I'm like, oh, it's fucking Slaves. Like, I remember that. Oh, because they changed the name Slaves. And so that was the whole thing. I'm like, oh, okay. But yeah, no, I did. I enjoyed that album. And I'd heard a few singles by Slaves, but it was never a band that I got into. But I listened to the whole album. I really enjoyed it. And I really like the stupid humour. Like, I've always enjoyed humour in music. And so the fact it's quite silly, I'm like, are they actually taking the piss here? Or is it just there's an edge of humour to what they do, which is good fun? But yeah, and then that tune is, I think that's the closing track, isn't it? And yeah, it's the closing track. And I was like, okay, this is like taking it to another level now. It's you've got the... you know, the aggressiveness, and you've got the sort of the humor, and you've got the sort of the kind of almost like heavy metal-y stuff, or the like the post-punky stuff. But then it's like, okay, and you can do emotional power as well. So I was like, right, so that is really special.
Yeah.
And then going back to Fontaines, yeah, I mean, I've always been a fan of Fontaines, but not massive. Like, I've always thought that, like, they were good, but it wasn't quite my thing. Like, it's always been, you know, just not quite, you know, oh, good, but, oh, should I put that Fontaines album again now? You know, it's just never been that bothered by it. And, like, you know, certain songs that you hear quite a lot, like Jackie Dandelion, things like that, it was like, that's good, it's good, but it was just never really touched me. But then, yeah, then this year it was like the first when the singles came out, I think we talked about it, actually. I'm like, OK, it feels like they're moving like in a more mainstream direction, or like more of a like Echo and the Bunnymen. I think this is probably their most sort of Echo and the Bunnymen sounding album, which I really love. And so it was like, OK, this is special. And then, yeah, seeing them at Reading was really good. And that the tune that's, you know, that stuck with me the most this year is In the Modern World. And I don't know if it's like, in a way, it's sort of, it's very simple and basic. And you think like, you know, it's sort of a bit teenagery, almost like teenage poetry, but it's just done so well, you know, and it's just one of those insistent melodies, you know, the breathiness of the vocal, and like the it's just something about it. It's just really touches me. And that's one I've just always gone back to over and over again.
Yeah. Excellent use of strings as well. On that song.
Yeah. Really good strings, really good strings. And so I've listened to that quite a lot driving around and things. And yeah, it's really great. And what a year for Irish music. So yeah, Fontaines, I'd say, was my album of the year. My song of the year would be Kneecap, because I've really, really loved the Kneecap album, Fine Art. Met them at Reading, sound guys. Loved the film. Saw the film as well at cinema. That was really, really good. And what's the track? It's like I'm Flush. That's it. So my favorite song of the year is I'm Flush. I wouldn't say that's the album of the year because there's a few tracks on there that sort of just go a little bit kind of mainstream dancey and things like that. And I'm like, oh, I could kind of do without that. And there's a couple of like guest appearances that it's like they almost feel the need to sort of throw in like these guest appearances. And it's like, because like it's a hip hop album ultimately. So yeah, I prefer it when it's like down dirty, Prodigy ish, hip hoppy dance. That's like, you know, that one like that. Obviously, it's not helpful that half the song titles are in Irish. So you go, so it's like, oh, I really like that song. Be a gusk of foobs in her like that. So but I really love those guys. I'm flush.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Yeah, great life. They were absolutely amazing at Reading. Really blew me away. So I love them. And the best gig for me this year was Mary Wallopers in Bristol. So I hadn't seen Mary Wallopers before. We talked about them on this show last year, that their album of last year was probably my, if not my album of the year, it was right up there. And I hadn't seen them before. And I saw them in Bristol, shithole, by the way. And I'm joking. I saw them in Bristol and it was the most exciting gig I've been to in years. I just did not expect that at all. For what is basically an Irish folk band, like, it was the maddest, craziest, like, jumping up and down, all ages, you know, young kids in there, like, everyone was just going mad. I've not known a gig like it for years and years. And maybe I'm just, because I just go to old fart gigs now, and so it's all old farts there. But, yeah, I'm not generally down, you know, checking out, I don't know, the K's or whoever the band is at the moment that's getting people jumping up and down. But to see that, to see people being driven, like, mad by, like, acoustic Irish folk music was just amazing. And it was the closest thing I've ever seen to the Pogues, which is the most obvious kind of connection you can make. But even when I saw the Pogues, like, I've only seen the Pogues from like the 2000s onwards, and so I'm not seeing them again now since Shane's dead. But yeah, that was mad seeing the Pogues live. You know, you would just see literally like everyone jumping up and down all the way through. And this is when it's fat old Irish guys. So, you know, but there was magic there. So they were just phenomenal. They were just incredible. And even if you're not a fan of like the albums, because they are acquired taste, because they are very Irish folk. But yeah, to see them live was just mind blowing. One of the best gigs I've been to in years.
Yeah, I do hear that a lot about them. I've never seen them live, and I've not, for that reason you just mentioned, like, I'm not particularly into Irish folk. But yeah, I do hear, I've not heard anyone say a bad word against them. Do you know what I mean? When it comes to actually seeing them live. So I have to make sure I can kind of check them out next year. Yeah, I mean, gigs of the year, I would say, yeah, as I think I mentioned, the Sex Pistols at Shepherd's Bush Hall was incredible. Nadine Sharp, Kentish Town Forum, was really good. I think I mentioned that as well. And her album as well, called big shout out for her album, which was absolute class as well. It would be remiss of me not to mention, talking of Irish bands, seeing U2 at the Sphere at the very beginning of the year in January, because that was the most expensive free ticket or not. Getting to Vegas isn't cheap. And that was like, that was a mind blowing spectacle. I know they've got their, you know, not everyone likes U2, but like they were doing Acting Baby, which is their best and my favorite album. In that environment, in the Sphere, was pretty mind blowing. Seeing David Gilmour was a bit of a. I'd always wanted to see him, and it was kind of a. In hindsight, it was maybe a bit of a checklist thing because he was doing his album, and there was a couple of Pink Floyd tunes, but it was like mainly his solo material. So it's kind of like not hugely into that, but you know what a guitarist, what you know one of the best, one of the absolute you know icons. My mate went to go and see Macca the other week when Ringo Starr came out. I am. Fucking gutted. I opted not to go to that because I was like, oh, he's doing the same tour, he's doing the same show he did at Glastonbury, apart from now and then, but whatever. And bloody Ringo Starr came out. So that's a shame I missed that, but I'm told it was special. What else? Oh, I think probably the most, well, Liam in Cardiff was still probably one of the biggest rushes I got just because seeing, you know, Liam and Bonehead doing I Will Believe in 2024 was pretty special. What other gigs? I mean, Noel, to be obvious, Noel at TH Cancer Trust is probably the best High Flying Birds I've seen, maybe, or best time I've seen the High Flying Birds, possibly. Johnny Marr was brilliant when I saw him. Yeah, it's been a good year gig-wise, I would say, because once again, you've got those bands I mentioned, like Idols, Fontaines, Nadine Shah, who are kind of at their kind of peak and really kind of firing on all cylinders now. And you've got the kind of, you know, throwing the old guard as well. It's been a good year for live music. Whereas, you know, next year's going to be however many times I see Oasis.
Yeah, I know. Madness. Yeah. I mean, just a couple of others I'm thinking about. I saw the Zootons in April. They were nice. Really good. Really enjoyed that. And then, I did like All Points East Festival, but like the dancier music day, because that's really what my wife's into. But that was like really good, really interesting. Saw some very cool people. And like, it's just different because it's not like, oh, I must see this because this is the cool. It's just like, all right, let's just check this out. So, you know, and like what a great show. Who was that band that we saw in Reading?
Big Special.
Yeah, they were great. That was really, really good. I really enjoyed that. And who was really amazing, and they're not one of my favorite recording artists, but just what a show. Confidence Man was just hilarious. It's just like this sort of, you know, all these like cheesy sort of dance moves and stuff they were doing, and it's just like they just put on a really fun show. So I really enjoyed those. And then like we said, next year it is, I'm seeing Mary Wallopers again, and they've got that booked. But other than that, yeah, it's all about Oasis. Mm-hmm. I mean, talking about next year, I think that so at the moment, obviously I've got Cardiff first night booked, and then I've just talked about it so many times, but we do really need to do like a pre-show somewhere, get somewhere booked for a pre-show. And then even though if I don't get tickets for the second night in Cardiff, I am staying over. And so to do maybe the pre-show for the next day as well. But then when everyone buggers off to the gig, go home. I'd be more than happy to do like that for other gigs that they do in Edinburgh, London, Manchester. I was up at the Definitely Maybe Bar in a couple of weeks ago. That was really good. Very impressive. Like I was expecting to be like a pub with a few Oasis bits and pieces on the walls. No, this is like a full-on Oasis exhibition bar, and you have to pay to get in. Like, so it's like you have to pay to get in, but then you get a free drink. So it's like, I suppose it just stops people going in just to look at the stuff and then get out again. And then, yeah, and it's so impressive. But there's like a yeah, there's like a merch area, and there's a separate green room for a VIP area. There's a separate like, and it's got a load of, I assume that Kyle has decked it out, because it's a lot of like Owen Morris gold records on the wall and things like that. So I imagine it's definitely links to the OCG. But yeah, top guys. I ended up chatting to the owner's daughter, who's like the bar manager there, and got the full guided tour and stuff. But yeah, really impressed. I never went to the one in Bolton, because obviously, why would I just choose to go to Bolton randomly? But nothing wrong with Bolton. Although people from Bolton probably would say there is anyway. But yeah, so impressive, really, really impressive place. And it's, and you think, why has that not come up before? What are the, surely Manchester needs to own that, that they have got this history of so much other music. But then the fact that Oasis is coming back now, suddenly, well, surely there's going to be a huge desire for people to go to Manchester because of the Oasis connections. And if you go in, what are you going to go to? Well, you're going to go to Sifter's Records, which is like, oh, there's no merch or anything. It's literally the same, which is lovely, but it is like, oh, okay. Well, that's, and I said, oh, have you got any like Oasis records, Pete? And he's like, no. Okay. All right. But I found like a CD copy of Be Here Now. So I'm like, well, I'll buy that off you, but even though I've obviously got it a number of times, just because it felt, wrong to not. But yeah, and so there's not that many kind of places if you're going to do the Oasis tour. But yeah, now you've got an absolutely, if you're going to Manchester, well, that is the place to go, because they're playing 100% Oasis music. There's stuff on the walls. Really, really impressed. So yeah, finally something for us Oasis nerds.
I think there'll be a lot of that next year. But yeah, I haven't actually been myself. I'm due to go to Manchester at some point this year. I'm going to Liverpool in February. While I'm in that part of the world, I might nip over. But I've got something potentially in Manchester. But yeah, it's going to be. I have no plans beyond Cardiff right now, the first night. Well, I say no plans, no tickets. But I will be doing my best. I want to see him at Wembley, just so I've got all three Wembley. Wembley, I've got 2000, 2009, 2024. I mean, as I said, I think I've said to you before, I'd like to go and see him in all four cities if possible. But that might prove otherwise. Well, that might prove difficult to do. But yeah, I'm just, yeah, I'm honest. I am blocking out basically everything from like July onwards just to go. Aside from the wedding I've got, which I've mentioned before, and I've got Idols on the 2nd of August in Bristol, I think. The rest of the time, I'm like, right, keep all those dates free for whenever an Oasis ticket might come up. Working on the basis that this is, in Noel's words, a victory lap for the band. And we assume that it's 6 months and out. But we live in hope. But yeah, I'm kind of working on that basis. But we're just gonna absorb myself in so much Oasis stuff next year. I mean, there's John Robb's book that's coming out. There might be other books that might come out.
People, I said on Twitter the other day, like, send me a picture of your Oasis merch that you got from your family this Christmas. And the amount of like people that have got the Oasis What's the Story, the in Robertson book, because it's just the only one that's in most zones and stuff. Yeah.
This one came out at the beginning of February. Have you seen that one? Or sorry, the beginning of
Yeah, so we
December,
talked.
do that?
So yeah, so we haven't talked about that, but yeah, what's your thought? Go on. So
What
it's
a f
Feeling Supersonic by.
It's by Simon Spence, who wrote the Stone Roses War and Peace book, which was really good. He's written he co-wrote Pete Doherty's memoir. He did the Steve Marriott biography that came out, the All or Nothing one. He did Stoned and Two Stone, the Andrew Lou Golden
Oh,
books.
I've got those.
Yeah, so he's got a good pedigree. But this is a cash-in, basically. So like, it's a 223-page book, and I reckon 40 of those are dedicated to Oasis, maybe. The rest of it is all just because he used to write for like The Face and ID magazine and stuff like that. So it's all about Manchester. Like, kind of, it, I mean, to be fair, the subtitle is From Manchester to Britpop, which it is. But like, it's a bit about Primal Scream. It's a lot about Happy Mondays, a lot about the Manchester bands like Interstellar and lots of other bands, Paris Angels and stuff that were around that area. But it's a collection of, I think, his reviews from the era,
Okay.
up until, it's got a little it kind of sells itself on the fact it's got an unpublished biography of Liam Gallagher, stellified in the white hot heat of Nebworth 1996. It's a piece on Nebworth. I think he might have been backstage or something. There's a couple of one or two Noel interviews that are a bit new, but one's from like 94. I found a tidbit that Noel says he rips off My Sweet Lord for Supersonic. But yeah, a shameless cash-in. And there'll be, I think there'll be a lot of that next year.
So the other thing, it was funny, I got contacted, like we're saying, there's going to be multiple cash-ins next year. And you know, if you go into like Smith's, you'll always see like the Harry Styles, 100% unofficial guide to Harry Styles, or like Taylor Swift, or whoever, like Fortnite, or like whatever is the big thing that year. There's always like the magazine, obviously, and there's been a few Oasis ones already. Like your record collector was an Oasis special, but things like that. But I'm imagining there's going to be a ton of those like next year. Mm. And there you go, Richard's got them. But then, yeah, and then so I got contacted by this guy, sort of saying, "Oh, would you be up for putting in some, you know, some of the transcribed interviews from your podcast into this magazine?" So this magazine is going to come out. It's been put together by Key Publishing, who are like this big company. I looked them up. They do all the shit that you see in W.H. Smith, whether it's trains or, you know, model aircraft or all that sort of crap you see in Smith. They do them. And and they're obviously just looking to do a cash in Oasis thing. And then this guy's been sort of tasked with putting this thing together. And and he's like, "Okay, can we use a couple of your interviews?" I said, "Oh, well, you can do, like..." And, you know, but I'm thinking, well, what's the run on this? And he said, "Oh, it's going to be X multi-thousand copies." I'm like, "Okay, well, could I get a fee for that then?" And it's like, no, there's no fee. But it would just be, obviously, we'll give you a shout out in the thing. And I'm like, you know what? No, it's nice to get exposure and it's nice to get a shout out. But actually, I just don't think that's right. Like, I've always been that thing of, like, you know, some people do like use interns and they say, "Oh, you can do stuff for exposure and write for the website for exposure and things." Nah, I'm not into that. I just think, no, like, I just don't think it's fair. I think if you're going to use someone's stuff, you should pay them. Now, if you're an independent, so fine. Like, no, and like I said, like, if it was his own independent thing, he's going to do a run of 500, sell them privately to his website, no problem. You know, I'm always happy to sort of, you know, help out independents. But if it's just going through a big corporate, like this just does model aircraft magazines and stuff, no, I just don't think that's right. So I think I'll miss out on a bit of exposure through that. But for me, you know, I sort of think, well, I'd much rather we do our own magazine. Otherwise, it's just like, I don't know. I just don't think we should reward these sort of corporates with our hard-earned stuff.
hard-earned podcast content.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, like, they've all redone magazines. Like, Mojo have just republished their magazine of, like, the Oasis lifespan. They've just reprinted that. Record Collective has done one. Mojo, I think, did one last year. So we'll be in it. I mean, I'm sure they'll do another one. But I'm sure there might be like Enemy magazines, blah, 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 blah. I'm sure there'll be a lot of them, but it seems like almost seems like people have shot their load. I don't know. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But I'm sure there'll be, like I say, John Robb's book, potentially another Oasis book from somebody you might know. And I'm sure there'll be a deluge from about April onwards of stuff like that for Oasis. But so I'm quite happy to write about Oasis for any old tat, be it a large corporate or a fanzine. I'm quite happy to write towards it. But I'm contributing to it. I've been interviewed by the guys. So I'm kind of helping him out with a few facts and a few bits of information so he can kind of write bio stuff and kind of, yeah, just helping him out towards the magazine. But I'm also, yeah, like I say, writing two pieces for it. I just think I'm really want to kind of capitalize on what happened in August. Like, you know, we're approached by BBC and whatever, and it's like, why not? Do you know what I mean? I'm kind of just going to say yes to everything because, to quote the Stone Roses, going to ride it till the wheels come off. Really, that's the kind of the way I'm looking at it. Really, it's like, who knows what might happen? So might as well just, you know, got to make it happen.
Yeah,
as somebody once said.
No, I just think it doesn't feel right that then, and money's like, whatever, money, it doesn't really matter. It's like, even if they paid me like 10 quid, you know what I mean? I don't care. So, but it's really, it's that thing about, like, there's a big corporate in the background that's just using other people's stuff for free. That's the thing. If it was, like I say, if it's a fanzine, if it was like a, if anyone out there wants to use like reprint stuff from, and obviously like it's, I do get that I'm sort of completely hypocritical because I use interviews and stuff in the podcast. I use copyrighted music in the podcast, only clips, right? But yeah, I do. So that is completely hypocritical. And I think I don't really know the legalities. If someone did just want to listen to that episode, transcribe it, and then, or even scan your book and then transcribe it and upload it, it's just words, isn't it? It's just words that have been said that are out there in the ether. So I don't know the rules around that. I mean, there's been times when the podcast has been quoted in the media and stuff, and it's like, it's just words. It's like they could do it, but it's not having that direct approval. So anyway, I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see what happens next year. It will be a, it's going to be a pretty mad time. But that's the only thing we know for definite.
Yeah, that's the only thing. As I say, we know John Robb's book's coming out. We know there's gonna be a lot of Oasis stuff going on next year. I think it's been quite useful for people to have had the 9 month lead time to kind of prep themselves, naming no names, but to kind of get their ducks in a row for the new year. Yeah, it's just gonna be a very busy year, which, you know, knowing those fucking Gallagher brothers, they'll completely gazumpus by releasing something in the next 2 weeks, which will just completely undermine everything, for, you know, and with no regard for like print lead times or anything like that. But you know, here's hoping.
Yeah, it's hoping. Let's just check. So Liam hasn't followed up his pst tweet. So unless he was just saying he's pissed.
Well, he does. He did, I just checked a minute ago. He did also say he was hanging, what was he said, rougher than a caveman's penthouse, which I quite like. I feel he might be laying groundwork, you know, for a cheeky little New Year's release. But you know, I am the eternal optimist. I'm actually starting to come around more to the idea that there is going to be nothing, this is going to be, they're like, no, it's a blackout, all you're getting. And like Liam taking to his word, like we are already going to find out the band at 9 p.m. on the 4th of July or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like that confirmation who the band's going to be, which will be. I mean, I said I don't know how they can sustain, you know, media blackout, but Liam wasn't a big fan of the media in the first place. Like he didn't, you know, he did a lot of press with John Squire, didn't do much press for Come On, You Know, didn't do any press for Definitely Maybe Tour. Noel seems to be holding firm, and balancing it quite well by just being like, well, come on, talk sport and talk about football, but do not ask me about Oasis.
No Matt Morgan either.
No Matt Morgan, yeah. I mean, yeah, I can see him, and he's spent years away from that before, so I can see no reason why he won't carry on. Does smack of it's all about the money and not the love. But we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. It might just been like, all right, just announce the dates and then get our ducks in a row for 2025. Let's hope it's that.
A couple of other shout outs. So in terms of Oasis podcast people, when we were saying about the songs and things of the year, well, my number one most played song of 2024 was Get Me Out of Here by The Anomaly. So that's our friend Imran's song. So yeah, he came on the podcast earlier in the year, and that song, it just really, I just loved it. I just loved it so much. I mean, it's cheeky because it's just got this sort of Sex Pistols riff, you know, and so you've listed this lifted the Sex Pistols riff. And so, you know, and so that's just fun. But over and above that, it's just a really well put together song, and it's just infectious and fast and fun, and it's just done. So yeah, really, really enjoyed that.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Lest we forget, name check by Noel himself as well.
Yes, because it was read out when they sent in the. I don't think I talked about that actually, but yeah, he didn't. I think he slagged it off a bit, didn't he?
I think he said it was. What did he say? He said it was like a bit shambolic, but he liked that, and he was kind of like immediately recognised the sex of the God Save the Queen riff, but he was like, you know, he's in no position to talk about pilfering, yeah. Is he? So I think I think he was overall positive about it. It's only one of the more positive ones of that episode. I think he kind of slagged a lot off. But I think that and, fun enough, our other mutual friends, 355s, he was quite, yeah, he was quite complimentary about it, if I remember rightly.
Yeah. And then shout out to Dave Walker, who I know had, major, major health problem earlier this year. I think he had like a massive like tumour in his face removed. Yeah, and I saw that and reached out to him, and he's going to be okay. I think they've managed to. It's more like just it looks fucking crazy, but yeah, it's not like life threatening or anything. So shout out Dave, Paul Costello from Ireland. I think he sort of emailed me the other day and said, just listening to your 12 Days of Christmas episode. My dad's awake. So probably one of the sort of stranger places to be listened to. So, but I think it's been fun with the 12 days because it is that nostalgia thing of going back. You know, I do think it's like I said in the episodes, it is, yeah, okay, it's a bit indulgent, but I think I have earned the indulgence, to be honest, by having done this for like 7 years. I don't mind a bit of indulgence now and then. And I think it was it like that Simpsons thing, like 12% new material or something? So there was...
It was way more than that. I said to you, I was just expecting repeats.
Yeah.
But you actually kind of sat and went through and kind of went down memory lane with it a bit. I was in the nicest possible way. I was pleasantly surprised by that. And it was like, it's a fitting time to take stock, isn't it? Aside from, you know, Christmas and, you know, the end of year thing, it's a fitting time to take stock before we enter the new era. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Before we enter Oasis Mark 7. It was a really good time to take stock. So yeah, it was a nice kind of stroll down memory lane. And as we talked about earlier on, the stuff with Mary kind of adds poignancy to it. And, you know, yeah, as you say, you've been doing this for nearly 8 years now. Do you know what I mean? We've done a hell of a lot. And it's, you know, it's important to sometimes sit back and you know, take stock and remember it. And how far you've traveled, JC?
Well, you've been there all the way, man. but yeah, that's all good. And just shout William Hand. So William, who was on the, he was on the episode that we did at the London OCG event. He is doing his own podcast, the music podcast.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, so and I've recorded one with him, and he sort of said, you know, what album do you want to talk about? You can talk about whatever album you want. So I said, that's fine. One proviso, not Oasis, because I just don't want to talk about Oasis. I talk about them all the time. So I actually recorded about Another Side of Bob Dylan.
Okay,
it's my favorite Bob Dylan album, and with the Timothée Chalamet film coming out, I was like, yeah, I wonder if that... I'm going to do a Dylan re-listen. So I decided, I'm like, right, I'm going to listen to every Dylan album. And I got to, like, the mid to late 70s. And I was like, oh, fuck, I can't be arsed now. So I did sort of a dropout in the late 70s. But I got through, like, you know, Desire and Blood on the Tracks and stuff. So, like, the core 70s ones I got through. I'm just like, oh, just can't face anymore. But it did, basically, having done that. I know there is some bigger ones later, like Time Out of Mind and things like that, that people do say are classics. But most people, I think, say, right, well, that's all the big ones are done by the late 70s. And I still think it's the best. I love Another Side Of. So, yeah, if you want to hear me and William chatting about that, that will be out some point in the next few weeks. That was really good. And, yeah, it's funny. I ended up doing like 3 evenings of chat and I didn't get anything for the Oasis podcast. There was that with William. And then I also, an unnamed person contacted me about a potential Oasis film. And this person said, this person emailed me and sort of said, oh, I want to talk to you about this Oasis project. And so I'm like, this is it. I'm being contacted for like the rumored Oasis Netflix documentary. Oh, I'm going to be in it. So to arrange to speak to this guy, and he's basically written like an Oasis film. And it's like, okay. So yeah. So, and it was fine, you know, it was fine. But yeah, so yeah, so I had three big recording sessions in a week and didn't get anything from him.
That is dreadful content management.
I know. You got to get something from it at least, but yeah, so there we go. Well, look, that's been fantastic. So we will, yeah, we will look forward to what's going to be a mad kind of mad 2025. And well, we'll see. We might be jumping on back again if like if something happens. Like if they do give us New Year's surprise, I'll be dropping it in here. But assuming otherwise, yeah, see you next year.
Yes, it's going to be a big one. It's going to be a very big one in Oasis world and. Yeah, outside Oasis as well. I keep on forgetting. They're not only, you know, obviously about Oasis, but, you know, The Verve are doing a bit of a relaunch as well. And it's like, oh, I did a Verve book, didn't I? Which is also out of print. I should probably do something about that. So that's, yeah, I think I'll be doing something with that and the Arctic Monkeys book. And I've got another one in the offing as well that I think I'm going to look to re-release next year as well. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty... It's going to be mad. It's going to be fucking mad. Love it. Love it. Strap in. Shit's about to get real, people.
All right. Richard, thank you very much, mate. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
Thank you, mate. All the best.